Welcome to this week's edition of Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. Each week, I'll be discussing different issues and different ideas with entrepreneurs from Malta and overseas to help you change or start your own business. Welcome to this week's Interview with Entrepreneurs. Slightly different this week, so I'm still Monique Chambers, and I'm talking to Elizabeth Pulo from JAYE, so Jay, formerly Young Enterprise, the same gang?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
same gang. And you're working on the projects side of things. So firstly, tell us a bit more about JAYE, Jay, itself, and what you do.
Okay.
And then you can tell us a bit about what you do.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Sounds great. Okay. So as JAYE, it's actually an international organization, which is present in over 110 countries. So okay. It's quite a big movement. And this year we just celebrated our 100th anniversary globally. So it's been a pretty intense, hectic year with a lot of celebration all across the globe. What the organization does is entrepreneurship education. So that's the baseline of everything that we do. We work on three main pillars. So mm-hmm. we work on financial literacy, mm-hmm. Work readiness, and entrepreneurship in itself.
Okay, so who are you teaching this to?
So we have a wide range of programs, obviously, depending on which country. So every country then adapts the programs that are most relevant for it. And we work with young people from ages of 7 up to 30.
Okay.
Which is quite a range.
That is from 7 years old. That's
exactly,
quite something.
Exactly. Okay. But programs vary. So for the older students, it's usually something which is over a couple of months. But then for the younger students, it's something over a day or 2 days. It's really, really depends though.
And so in Malta, how does it work? You target all of those age groups as well?
So we have 9 programs that we can run as an organization here, but we have 2 main programs which are our focus. So there's the company program, mm-hmm. which many people refer to as Young Enterprise, which mm-hmm. is a program at first year of sixth form students. And then we have a second program, which is called the Startup Program, which is a bit more of a recent program. It's been existing in Malta for around 5 years, which is specifically for tertiary level students. So those are the 2 main programs that we run. But then every now and then we also run different programs for the younger ages. One of our, I would say, recent successes is also we've been working with Scuola Saif.
Oh,
so
yes.
We've used 2 of our programs for the younger ages and kind of as plugins in Scuola Saif, which has allowed us to have a reach of over 1,000 students.
Okay, so what sort of skills are you teaching them?
Okay, so it varies. So the one thing is definitely financial literacy. So this is very, very key to everything we do because we see finances not as something that just an accountant, but even young kids should start learning how to manage money. If you're receiving, you know, those 50 cents per week, how will you, you know, keep them and budget them for yeah. you to buy your next book or your next toy? Ultimately, this is also a life skill. So when you have a family or when you have a career, it's like, how will you budget your money?
I still need to.
Exactly.
So financial literacy, which is, no, seriously, it's a very
exactly.
serious subject and very, very key.
Exactly.
What other things?
So there's also working with people that you don't know. So teamwork mm-hmm. As a basic skill. So we always have activities where they have to work together and learn how to delegate work or how to identify who's going to take up which role in order to create something. If it's like a product or
okay.
design something. Or work together to reach an objective in a span of time.
And would this be sort of teacher-led, or is this something the team has to work out? So it's not the teacher's favorite may always get the best position. Is it the team have to actually work that out and
exactly.
swap responsibilities?
So we work with the educational institutes and the teachers for us to go and implement these programs. But ultimately, we bring on board business mentors. So we find representatives from companies such as HSBC or who are a sponsor of Jay.
Okay.
Who bring in people of profession into the classroom, and they would have been trained in how to deliver the program. So they are the ones who give instructions to these kids. But then the kids have to kind of self-lead themselves into delegating the work or creating the product and finding out how and what and take their final decisions.
Because the project isn't going to be overseen all the time by these mentors. There's going to be time the kids have to work by themselves, I guess.
And the role of this person is really to guide them with questions or give them basic instruction. But then there's a certain fulfillment when you take your own decision. Maybe it's a good decision or not a bad decision. But at the end of the day, the result is something that you kind of had to take ownership of. And it's a learning experience in itself.
Uh-huh. And then the next time you know to, you know, go with your gut feeling or not take the responsibility. No, to swap it with somebody else, to sort of change roles. And it might even give shyer kids a chance to try something that they may not try in their usual sort of clicker.
Definitely.
You know, that we have here. Okay, so how do you roll out these programs? Do you sort of knock on the doors of schools and say?
Well, so to speak, yes. Mm-hmm. So we do approach educational institutes, and we tell them, like, listen, we have this opportunity mm-hmm. for you. There's a number of educational institutes, such as the Sixth Forms, which is pretty much a standard. So every year, you know, all of the schools are usually on board. So it's an ongoing conversation. Mm-hmm. The tertiary level programs, we do have the St. Martin's Institute, who have been with us since day one, and the University of Malta as well. But on a university level, we're trying to reach out to more students, because it's a bit of a different kind of credit or way how to spend your extracurricular time. But then for the rest of the program, so primary and secondary, it really depends. So sometimes we approach programs such as Scuola Saif. So mm-hmm. that's kind of, we see it as an educational institute kind of branch, an opportunity to educate. But then when it comes to the winter months, usually schools approach us as well, and they tell us, like, listen, are you willing to kind of come in and deliver this?
So you were saying about the university aspect, where it's credits, mm-hmm. so your ECTSs or whatever, so you can build up those. But what's in it for the sixth form kids? What's in it for the others that take part?
Good question. But it's definitely a really great learning experience for them. And it's not just that. The fact that they come up with their own ideas, and they have to, you know, assign roles. Someone is a managing director, someone's a financial director, someone's an operation, marketing and sales, mm-hmm. and they have to create everything themselves. So it is out of school hours, and there's a big commitment that they actually have to kind of take on. And it's an intense experience, but at the end of it, from a group of friends who sometimes wouldn't have known each other, and then they start going, you know, one day at a time, one week at a time, and then things kind of just roll out. So once the first few weeks kind of pass, then things just, you know, go full speed ahead, and then it's May, and it's done. You know, you're looking back, and it's an exciting journey.
But it's a good thing for them to have on their CVs and on their profiles, and to show potential universities and potential mm-hmm. employers that, you know, I got involved in this at an age.
So in addition to that, apart from being only for future university, I think it's also a good journey for them to figure out what they like and what they don't like. Mm. So it's a very out of textbook experience. You know, we give them basic guidelines, but they have to implement and think of new ways. And even for future jobs, you know, you go and tell them, listen, I've worked in a team, I've tried stuff, I have these skill sets. It's a great advantage over, you know, the very competitive employment market in itself.
It already is. And even understanding how job titles work with other job titles.
Yeah.
Because knowing, you know, you want to be in marketing, for example, and not really understanding what marketing is, mm-hmm. but then seeing from your product development, your market research, everything else, that gives you a breadth to know that you could actually specialize once you get into your final studies, or
you've tried things out. You know, you didn't wait until you have your actual job, but you've tried things out. So that's why it's a very good hands-on learning experience. And out of this, there's internships that are offered. So for example, for the company program, there's Deloitte and HSBC who provide summer internships for them.
Oh, cool.
And this year, HSBC actually took some students for the third summer running. So for us, it's, you know, very satisfactory even for them to say, this, it's a very tangible output that comes out of these experiences.
Does it cost the children anything to participate?
So there is a very minimal introductory fee of around 35 euros for the company program. And then what the costs that they kind of run into is our shares. So in the beginning, to make up their capital, their starting capital, they have to sell shares. So they have to go running to their parents, family, friends, neighbors, and tell them, listen, would you like to invest in our company? Because we need our starting capital. So that's really the initial capital. But ultimately, most of them usually do make a profit.
Okay.
So they do get their money back. And it's about how smart you are. And that's why there's financial literacy. So you can partner up with other entities. Maybe, you know, instead of printing their own pop-up banner, for example, go find a company who would support you in that in kind.
So,
you know, there's a lot of smart ways to work. Exactly. And they're young people, so, and a lot of companies and entities would love to help them out. You know, they're young entrepreneurs, they're young people, so there's a really good kind of feel-good factor for anyone supporting these projects.
And just you know, the fact that someone approaches you and has a well-rounded argument.
Exactly.
It's quite impressive, I think.
Yeah.
And that makes people look up and want to help. So they don't really earn, although you said they sort of make a profit. They don't pay too much, so that's great. What happens to the ideas at the end of the program? What happens in May?
What happens in May? Okay, so they do go through a liquidation phase, so where they have to close everything down, have an AGM, close their bank accounts, and some other paperwork, like any form of company. And then it really depends on how much further they would like to take it. So, and it also depends on which program.
Okay.
So, because we're focusing a lot on the company program at sixth form, and sometimes ideas do kind of come up again, but most of the time, since then they have their A-levels the next year, they would be like, okay, we're going to put it on a pause. It was a good idea. We'll go back to it. It's much more about the journey. On the startup program, however, on the other hand, is very different because the journey of the startup program really takes them through prototyping and identifying what's the value of their idea. And the objective of it is that we prepare them enough so that they can actually approach investors. So by the end of it, they have an investment plan, they have a prototype, they can pitch their idea with confidence, and they've received feedback from people in business. So then they actually launch. In fact, recently, I would say that up to now, we have at least three companies or four that continued after the program. Yeah, which is great, you know.
Can you tell us a bit about those?
Of course. So from last year, there was a company, Saluna, whose name now changed to Time Ninja. It's a fantastic startup idea that she has, which is specifically targeted for students, because the theory of and where the idea came about is because of procrastination, which is a very famous concept about, I think, all the young people.
Mm-hmm. Not just the young people.
At least. So what the app does, it's an application that helps students in managing their time. It's a fantastic story, honestly, behind it. And she worked really hard. So it's really great for us that, listen, after a year, she's finishing her paperwork. You know, she's out there. She's doing her talks, getting funding.
Time Ninja, what's it sort of, you tell it when you're studying and when you're not, and it kicks you or something?
What Time Ninja does is, so you have your own little ninja.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I have all the information and the details correct. So, for example, there's a theory which says that if you study, it's best, for example, to study for around 30 minutes and then you take a 10-minute break.
Right.
So if you have, so you open your application and your ninja has to practice for 30 minutes. If you move your mobile or your tablet, the ninja stops training.
Clever.
Exactly. And then in the 10 minutes break, you can actually play and the ninja can fight against other ninjas. But unless this ninja has trained, well, it won't be the best.
Eaten.
Exactly.
That is genius.
It's a fantastic, fantastic model. So there's Time Ninja. Then there's Intact. who have changed their name to TACT. They are the winners of 2 years ago, and they actually also won the European competition. That was pretty, pretty cool. These two teams are actually from the St. Martin's Institute. And what TACT does is it's about safety for motorcyclists.
I'm seeing the logo in my head, actually. I'm remembering
possible.
This.
Yes, yeah. Possible. And these two companies actually also just pitched at the Motor Innovation Summit. So when we saw them on stage, we were like, wow, okay, that is the kind of impact that we want to have. What TACT is about is, so if the person has an impact, if you're a motorcyclist and there's impact, there's a technological feature in the helmet that the minute that there's impact, it sends a signal to any family, friends or emergency numbers.
Yeah.
It's something on those lines. Yeah. I know that they're still developing the idea.
A very worthwhile but brilliant,
exactly.
Brilliant idea.
Exactly.
So, like you said, you start them off and then they...
And then it's like...
Keep
fly.
Going and keep going and keep going.
Exactly.
But if you've just joined us, you're listening to Monique Chambers interviewing Elizabeth Poulot from J-A-Y-E-J. Why can't I just call it J? J.
Yes,
J.
That's an easier way to go.
So on a day-to-day basis, so these, you know, the students, they do their normal schoolwork, whatever, they have to arrange their time to be able to get together with their team.
Yep.
And they come up with everything? They come up with their own idea?
Yes. So we provide them with workshops or kind of touch points every now and then, provide them with the basic guidelines, saying them, listen, this is the next step, this is what you need to give us. But then they have to figure their own time, meet up, have their own discussions, keep minutes, take their own decisions, kind of go out there. And there's really no limit to with certain guidelines, obviously, but they can really go out there, speak to externals, do your market research, figure out if your idea is worth working on.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's also definitely key to making sure that it's a success.
Uh-huh.
It's not just in your head, you know, it's a good idea. We always love our own ideas, but it's ultimately making sure it makes business sense. Is it worth investing in your time, your money, you know, and all your energy?
And what, I'm just wondering how do parents take to this? Do they think it is just like another thing they have to drive their kids to, or is it something that they can stay on at school for an extra couple of hours and do, so therefore the parent can maybe work a bit longer or do whatever? How do parents view the program?
I think in general, the value of it is definitely seen as a worthwhile program. I mean, the biggest interaction we have are with parents whose kids are participating.
Okay.
So they're kind of the convinced, the converted already. But then in general, I think there's still a bit of, some parents might still be a bit hesitant because it does take a lot of time. And I think in general, we still have this mindset of you have to do well in your exams and this might be over and above, like way too much.
Mm.
And a lot of kids, like today, I think there's a lot of extracurriculars. There's a lot of activities that kids can participate in. So it's
a lot of those things, you know, if you do, I don't know, gymnastics, whatever, there's going to be a point in time where you stop doing that.
Yep.
Something like this actually gives you skills for life.
Yes, definitely.
You know, it prepares you to propel you actually into, you know, the adult world and even understanding what your parents do, you know.
Definitely.
To know what they do, what they go through on a daily basis, to then realize. So it is something probably parents shouldn't be so
resistant.
Because you're still studying, you're still learning, you're not just...
Exactly, and I mean, it's really about taking what you're learning in class and applying it. I had studied accounting myself, but then going into...
You don't look like an accountant.
I moved away from that line. I did my undergraduate and I was like, yeah, this line is not for me this time. But I mean, what I learned in books is one thing. You know, you open a book and it gives you all the numbers, it gives you all the figures, it gives you all the data. But then you go in the real world, you have to find this out, you have to call people up, run after them, get your quotations, put it together, and that in itself is even the fact that you have to call people or email them or, you know, follow up, that communication skill is, you know, something that
and
can't get out
and
of
even
Facebook.
You can't do that with Instagram or you can't do that on Facebook Messenger. You have to do that in a more structured way and understand communicating with different people.
Yeah, in a corporate way.
Is different.
So it's
gives them that skill as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you said this has been around for 100 years. How long has JAYE been in Malta?
For 30 years.
30 years, 30 okay. Years. And actually your CEO, Fiona Kaptur, she mm-hmm. was actually on the program herself.
She was the first program's coordinator 30 okay. years back. Okay. So she was the first one who was doing my job.
Uh-huh.
And then, so it's pretty interesting when we have these conversations of comparing things, you know, from back then to now and the similarities, but then the differences then, for example, in ideas.
Mm.
So back then, you know, people made things out of wood, you know, going to your dad's garage and, you know, find out what material do we have, what can we make of it, and our storage room is packed with these with all these products, and it just never ends because every year we also collect these products, so we have like a little museum which I think we can
that could be quite fun
spice
to
open
up. And I guess today's kids now are doing everything, you know, cardboard engineering, 3D printing, software.
There's a lot of software and app based products, and we're seeing it every year just increases the perspective of, okay, let's make an app. We do try to encourage them to think a bit differently because usually it goes like, oh, can we make an app? And it's like, okay, first, what do you want to solve? What's mm-hmm. the gap in the market? Does an app make sense? And it's very interesting but also very challenging to overcome that mindset.
Okay.
Because especially the younger, for the young program, the company program, usually think, you know, it's just an app, it's so easy to make, but it's really not. It takes so much time. You need to get users to download it, and then you can convince people to put their marketing material on it.
Yeah.
So it's a much tougher journey that they can't anticipate.
And you don't make money from apps. It takes a
long time.
Yeah. I know that personally. Very long and painful time. But there we go. So do you see other products that are sort of tangible, not just software-based, not just app-based? Do you see things like, okay, the helmet mm-hmm. is one of them?
So there is still the majority go on we try to go towards a software-based mm-hmm. product. So the physical products are decreasing, but there still is kind of this, you know, seeing what can they make. For example, 2 years ago, I believe, there was a team from the Verdala International School, and they were making these 3D printed products. And the product in itself was quite simple, but what happened was they were only four people, so they had to really be smart in terms of production. You know, you can't make anything that's too complicated.
Uh-huh.
So they designed three basic products, and they were 3D printing them. So technically, the operation was very, very short and
yes.
very simple to make. So that's what I mean when you learn how to think smart.
Ah.
You know, what's your resources available and development. Other products we've had, there's a lot of products that come out which are very school-based, related to stationery or notebooks. But okay. there is starting to be a shift towards the environmental solutions.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Because it's the younger generation who are
exactly,
you know, much more into this, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Not fortunately, unfortunately. But, you know, so that's a really good thing
yes,
to hear.
It's quite a good kind of shift. It's a trend which, in terms of conversation and a topic which is important for them, it's always a case of how do they capitalize on this? Like, do they understand it in depth?
Okay. And so the youngest, you were saying, because I'm really intrigued about 7-year-olds, because,
yeah.
you know, as kids, I used to make my mother, we used to go nuts. Whenever she bought nice bedding, I would make a pencil skirt from the pillowcase.
Okay.
You know, and
interesting.
I had my own little way, and I would cut off the bottom and take out the bit that overlaps and make a little belt.
And you added value to your pencil, I must say.
She would go absolutely nuts with me. But I'm just wondering, what do other 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, whatever, what are they coming up with?
Their ideas are crazy. So what's usually very interesting is when they have the opportunity to come up with something, and most of the time they all have, you know, a very different idea, and they're 7. So they're like, mm-hmm. this is my idea. My idea is the best idea ever. And then we try and encourage them, okay, how can you mix it up?
Uh-huh.
So then they don't kind of go for one idea over the other, but then they start literally combining
them.
Yeah. So in the Scola Scythe project that we were running this year, we did like a mini competition for them. So from all the schools, we chose like the top 15 ideas. And there was one idea, which was, if I'm not mistaken, a coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
which was also a pet shop. So it's like you go have your coffee, you go have your have your little break, but then you can also see the pets that you can potentially buy.
Ah.
So that was very cute.
Really cute. Like yeah. There's cat cafes in Japan.
Exactly.
You go in and stroke
I mean,
cats.
2 years ago, I think there was, if I'm not mistaken, an idea which was you go to the, so one kids really loved food, but then they were like, you know, we have to be healthy. So they were like a gym where while you're on the treadmill, you can eat pastetti. So it's like, you know, this is a win-win situation.
Well, they actually, that's quite a good idea because they should do, you know, while you're waiting in queue for your pastizzi, you could be on the treadmill and only be allowed it if you
earned. That's the thing. When you start seeing their ideas in the beginning, they might seem a bit ridiculous, but the more you think about it, it's like, that's not so bad
that
after all.
Not so bad. Now I'm going to walk on
it's
the spot every
creative.
Time I go for my pastizzis.
No, but it's really fantastic working with kids and seeing, because they really have no filter.
That's it. Yeah.
So their ideas just, you know, start going wild, and we can do this and we can do that. And the more you give them the space to come up with their own thing, the more you start seeing them kind of shine and, you know, get very eager and you know, just into their idea and have to make it happen.
And they're so much smarter than we give them credit for as well, I think, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just with, you know, being able to work computers and stuff, but their take on the world is just so different.
It is. So it's very refreshing as well. So
what's the one thing you want to be doing in 2020 with JAYE? What's the next big goal?
Okay, next big goal. So we are going through a whole automation of the organization. So we are kind of going through our own innovation internally to hopefully take us to be able to deliver many more programs on a larger scale.
So more than 9 programs already?
Because we have 2 main running programs, but then the others, due to our kind of limited HR resources, we are a bit limited in delivery, so that's definitely, we want to tap into the 7 other programs much, much more than we're doing.
Excellent. Well, we'll be watching out for you. Thank you very much, Elizabeth, for talking to me here on Interviews with Entrepreneurs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this week's Interviews with Entrepreneurs with me, Monique Chambers, here on Campus FM. I'd also like to thank Carmela Grech and Redent Abdillah for the production of this show. The show is aired every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. and repeated every Friday at 7:30 p.m.